It is really a blessing to all be together, isn't it? I sense from all of you gathering and spending these days together just as a youth, I think all of you are enjoying it, and I am too. I sometimes wonder how I could make myself a little bit younger. But I really don't feel much older than you. Could we just rise to pray before we start? Father in heaven, we again are before you this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, for the great grace that you've given to us. We thank you for the peace and the joy. We thank you for the changed lives. Thank you, Lord, even for yesterday and the work that you did in all of our hearts yesterday, and even the salvation you brought to a couple of the young girls. Grateful for that. And Lord, we ask that as we're together these days, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as we're here together, Lord, we would make choices and decisions that you're pleased with. We can make choices and decisions that will affect our eternal destinies in a very good way. Lord, we just again, we ask for you to continue your presence here. Lord, you have said where two or three are gathered in my name, there you'll be in their midst. And we know that you've been here this morning, early afternoon, with the preaching and with the sharing and with the chorus. We ask for your continued presence. It's with confidence that we know. We just simply believe your word. You've said where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be there. And Lord, you're the head of the church. Father, this work together, us functioning together as local bodies, this is from you, and we want to again surrender ourselves to you as the head of the church. So Lord, just now I pray for a clear burden from heaven upon my heart, and I ask that you would help me to communicate and help us all to understand with our hearts and help us to connect in a way that we could embrace, that we could help to move forward, that could be for our eternal well-being's sake. So, Lord, thank you for your grace here. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Why honor my parents? Why honor my parents? For an opening scripture, if you could turn with me to the book of Exodus, I'd like to read in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to read in verse 17. In the law, where it says, "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Now let me just read it again. "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." In the Old Testament days, when there was a son that would rise up against his father and he would blaspheme against his father. And the question is, what is blasphemy? To blaspheme or to curse means to invoke evil against. It means to make him despicable. It means to make light of him or to curse him. In the Old Testament days, when a young man would speak words against his father in this nature, there was a command that they were to bring this young man to the middle of the city to the elders of the town. And when they bring him to the elders of the town, they were to share with the elders of the town what this young man was doing. And a part of the Old Testament law said that no man was ever to be condemned without two or three witnesses. And so the parents of this young man were to bring him before the elders of the city, and they were supposed to share with the elders of the city how this young man had cursed, how this young man had made his father despicable, how this young man invoked evil against his father or made light of or to blaspheme or defamed his father. And if there was two or three witnesses that would clearly testify and say that that is how this young man has been treating his father, if that was the case, the whole town would be gathered, whether a big town or small town. It might be 200 people, and it might be 500 people. And they would bring this young man, I could just imagine maybe a 17-year-old boy. They were to bring him to the center of the city. And if you can just imagine with me this scene of this family bringing this 17-year-old son to the center of the city. And this whole big crowd of people, a couple hundred people, gathering together. And as they would bring this son, and they would put him here in the middle, and they were to gather stones where they could cast and they could throw at this young man. And this young man was to be in the center. And if you can just consider this scene with me, normally the father of this young man was to cast the first stone. And if you can just consider all the siblings sitting there and observing and watching, and if you can just consider the whole atmosphere of all the young people, all the children, as they watched, and these big men, they were, I don't know, was he to stand or to sit? I'm not sure how all that worked. But they were to take stones and they would throw them as hard as they could. And you can just imagine the stones hitting this young man's head. And he started bleeding. And more stones. And they would throw these stones. And if you want to kill a man, you go for his head, right? You go for his vitals. And I can, you just consider the scene. It's a horrible scene. This young man, there's no way out. There's no way of escape. The whole city around him. Fathers taking these stones and throwing stones and stone after stone, and he's laying on the ground. And you can just imagine, they needed to kill him. So they took these stones and they would throw it at his head. And the blood coming out of his ears, and the blood coming out of his mouth, and the blood coming out of various places of his body. And if you can just imagine him still breathing, and maybe his arms and his legs still going, and they kept on inflicting wounds on his vital organs until finally his body came to a place where it died. Uh, Can you imagine those brothers and those sisters, those neighbor boys? Can you just imagine those boys going home that day and what was going on in their minds that night? They wake up at night and this grisly scene of what had happened to their friend. Can you just imagine that? Can you imagine the level of honor and respect that would come on children, on youth, if that would happen to one of us right sitting here? Can you just imagine the level of sobriety, the level of desire to do everything I need to so that is not me the next time? You just consider that. That's quite the scene. It's quite the scene. Why honor my parents? Why honor my parents? Turn with me to the book of Luke. I'd like to read a couple of verses in the book of Luke. Why honor my parents? In the book of Luke, there's a prophecy about John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 16, where it says these words. Luke chapter 1, and this is a prophecy concerning John the Baptist. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now turn with me also to the book of Malachi. I want to read another verse in the book of Malachi. Malachi, and we're going to read in chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, in verse 6, it's the last verse in the Old Testament. And he, this again is also talking about John the Baptist prophecy, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And now listen to this next verse here, or this next phrase. And the heart of the children to the fathers. Okay? Your parents aren't here today. Some other time I'm going to preach to them, okay? But today we want to look at our responsibility in honoring our parents. Here it says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. Turning your hearts to the fathers. And then he goes on, and these are very interesting words. Very interesting words. Listen to this. He says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. If you look around America today, and if you look at the utter disrespect that children and youth have to their parents, and you look at what's happening to this generation, it is horrible. It's horrible. It's wicked. It's horribly ungodly. And this utter ungodliness continues to unfold because The structure that God has put into place to bring children into the home and to raise God-fearing men and women is largely fallen apart. And that's why this prophecy has come, that he's going to come and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and he's going to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. We want to talk about that today, about turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. We want to talk about that. And maybe I could first start out the message here by simply talking to you a bit about just sort of the things that I'm concerned about, and I don't know how to do it except to just say it, right? What's a big concern of mine over the years, you know, our youth go to Bible schools here and there, and in Bible schools like we have here this week, often there's these prayer groups, and I trust you're enjoying the prayer groups. But one of the things that often comes up in prayer groups is some of the things that are struggles within the home, right? Those are things that come up at times, things that go on in the home. And since all of us, we don't, you know, we're not in each other's home all the time. Places like this, like Bible school, where there's prayer and sharing in a more concentrated way, it's a place where some of these things sort of reveal themselves in a way that it doesn't as quickly, maybe some other places. Here's a thing that keeps coming up regularly, is that our youth come home and they talk about the good time they've had. They talk about the prayer and sharing, the good prayer and sharing. They talk about the good sermons, all of the good things. But here's one thing that is just fairly consistent. There's a low percentage of youth that really have a close relationship with their parents. Do you follow what I mean by that? That doesn't say that there's sin in the home. Doesn't say that things are just in a turmoil. Some homes might be in a turmoil. But I'm not talking about the big turmoils. I'm talking about a home where there is, from the children to the youth. So I'm talking about you. I'm not talking to the parents here, okay? Where there's, from you youth toward your parents, an open, flowing communication where your hearts are turned toward your parents, and it's just free and open between you and your parents. It's just open. And if I say open, this is what I mean. A place where you can share your struggles. A place where you can pray together. A place where you share your heart, struggles, your visions, your goals, where this it's just free. Where there's an accountability between you. Where there's just a freedom. Where there's a friendship. Where there's a respect. Where there's a drawing together of hearts. Okay? And I guess that's the heart and the burden of the message. That right there. Is that if that's not there, you all are missing something that you could have. You all are missing something. And while I realize that all these things are two-sided, right? All these things are two-sided. I want to give recognition to that. And I don't want to put you on a guilt trip. I don't want to put you on a guilt trip. But my concern is that somehow we don't realize what we can have. We don't realize what God really wants of us. And therefore, because of that, this whole thing keeps going on from one generation to another. Do you know what I mean by that? Rather than taking a step forward today, and when you move forward in marriage, there's a clear path forward. You have a vision of what you can have and will have with your own family, and you have that with your parents, maybe not even as much as you desire, but you are doing everything within your power to do this with your mom and dad. Where you are turning your heart toward your parents. That's what I like to talk about. That's what I like to talk about. And again, I come back. I don't want to put us on a guilt trip here today. I realize these things are two-sided, where it has to work, has to be from parents and children. And if you do your part, and maybe your parents don't know how, but even you, if you do everything you can, that you possibly can, and it's still not where you desire, you're at a place where if you step into marriage and you move forward, that can only grow and continue. My struggle is that somehow these types of relationships keep on going from one generation to another, and it doesn't get any better. I've had many parents tell me, that I don't know how to talk to my youth. Okay? And I'm sure that that's where, if you find yourself at that place, that's how they feel. They'd want to, but they don't know how. They don't know how to step forward. And I'm not here to be critical at your parents. I'm not here to be critical at you. But what I like to do is put out this idea of what you can aspire to, and you can do your part and go as far as you possibly can. That will build a platform for you with the next generation. That it continue to step forward. I very clearly remember, and I'll just say this, both of our parents, Martha and my parents, both of us, we had God-fearing parents, but we didn't have close relationships with them. We didn't. But let me tell you, in our courtship, one of the things that we discussed a lot is how can we step forward? And when we have children, if God gives us children, what are things that we can do to have a close relationship between Martha and I and between us and the children? How can we do that? And it was a burning desire in our hearts as we moved into that phase. It was a desire. And we didn't have it, but we longed for it. We stepped forward in every way we possibly could. And that's what I like to inspire here today, is maybe you're at a place where maybe you will never be able to with your parents go as far as you can. But I like to inspire us to come to the place where you turn your heart toward your parents, and you move in that direction as far as you possibly can. And don't put guilt trips on your parents, and don't blame them, I don't want any of that, okay? We're talking to you about you turning your heart toward them and you giving yourself in honor, obedience, and respect to the best of your ability. And one of the reasons that many of us don't do it is because we don't see the value of it. We don't pursue it because we don't see the value. Now let me explain to you what value means. Some years ago, there's a friend of mine who he purchased from an older man that he knew. He had a house, and the house was piled full of trash. You ever seen trash? A house where there's little paths to walk through. All the counters, all the tables, everything was stacked high. House was full, little paths to walk through. This man had collected things for a lifetime. And he was at an age where his mind was a bit senile. And he was at an age where the house was being sold. And there's a friend of mine who he told him, "I want you to just come and clean everything out. Clean everything out. Clean it all out. And this is the amount. You pay me this amount, and you can have everything that's in the house." Well, he didn't know what to expect. But he went into that house, and he started cleaning it out. And there's truckload after truckload after truckload of trash. As they were clearing the trash, all of a sudden, there it was. There it was. And I won't tell you what it was, but I'm going to tell you that the value of that was around $100,000. And he had no idea the value when he bought the thing. He had no clue. He had no clue that all this labor and getting rid of all this truckload after truckload of stuff, and finally he happens and he sees the value of this thing. He was astounded. And let me tell you, there's something that a relationship with your father and mother will do to you that you have no idea. You have no idea. God has created this whole structure of the family. God has created for there to be a headship order and for us to function within that realm. And there's something that happens in the heart of a child and a youth that if we are connected together with our parents and you as youth have turned your heart to your parents and this has happened and this is happening, it will bring a stability into your life and a value that you have no idea. I promise you. You have no clue. So, there are different types of relationships. Here's another heading here. There's different levels of relationships that maybe some of us have with our parents. I don't know where you're at today. There might be some here who... maybe there's a level of animosity that is between you and one of your parents. Maybe you're close to one, but maybe there's some animosity between you and the other. Maybe. Maybe there's some of you here that there's nothing really between you and your dad or your mom, but it's just sort of a cold relationship. Things, you know, you dwell together, there's no real strife, but neither isn't there any. It just, things just sort of happen. And maybe there's some here where things, where the hearts have come together between you youth and your father and your mother, and you have chosen to just draw close. And in that friendship, that level, there's sharing that goes on. There's sharing that goes on. That's a place when you face struggles, you come and you just open your heart. There's a listening and understanding. There's a place where there's understanding each other. Maybe there's direction given. Maybe they share things with you and it hurts even a bit. And you're trying to understand what they mean by it. But there's a decision in your heart. I want to try to understand. I want to be there under their authority. I want to give myself in every way I can. And you just, you know, this continues to grow. And there's a sharing about maybe moral temptations, maybe just family relationships. There's a sharing about relationships with other boys and girls in the church. There's maybe an opening up about maybe some of my special interests that come my way, about boys, or maybe special interests that I have toward girls. I just mentioned that. There's just an openness and there's a freeness there. There's a guidance there. There's a direction there that just brings a solid, clear direction. And there isn't any strife. There's just peace. There's a drawing together. And as I do that, it enhances what Brother Mick was talking about this morning. It brings all those things to a different level, way beyond where it is if these things are out of place, way beyond. I'd like for us to just consider maybe some of the things, the effect that a close relationship like that really has on us spiritually. Let me just tell you, I have seen young people who, when they have made a decision to clearly turn their heart toward their parents and to pursue a relationship with their parents in that way, there is a settled rest that comes upon them, and there's a spiritual flourishing in a way that was never there before. Oh, you know how it is for us now. You know, maybe the ones on the front bench, maybe you don't struggle with it as much, but I think the ones in the back definitely do. Where there's this, you know, our feelings maybe sort of, you know, we're really doing well, and then all of a sudden something comes up and just, you know, it feels like the bottom just fell out, you know. And then we struggle. How do we get through that? And maybe even for weeks, for days and weeks, you struggle through this thing. But let me tell you, if some of these things are in place between you and your parents, all those ups and downs and all those things, it'll bring it to where you'll still have some of that, but it'll bring it to a place where there's just a course that's being charted of stability. That's a foundation that you will have for the rest of your life that you won't have otherwise. And as you seek God and you pursue a walk with God and a seeking after God And the way that Brother Mink was sharing this morning, as you pursue that, there's a flourishing that will come forth. There's a stability. There's a rest. There's a peace. You will gain victory over sin in ways that you didn't before. You will have a proper view of God and the holiness of God and the Father figure of God, the way God views you. All of these things will find a place in your life in a way that it won't otherwise. And things will come to a way, or in a, you know, it'll start flowing in a way that God really designed it to be. Now, if I could just describe it this way. Sometimes on our vehicles, last year one time, we had this, you know, we have this little gray car. And, you know, it's a little gray VW Jetta, and it's a real good car. It's a blessing. It's even got holes above the wheels and all that stuff. It works really well. And I can drive down the road 60 miles an hour, and it's just smooth. But a little bit over a year ago, I'm not sure where it happened, but I believe one of our children hit a pothole, and it put a bubble in the side of the tire. When it had this bubble in the side of the tire, when we went down the road, can you tell me what happened? There's this, okay? You know, it didn't just run smoothly. Normally, I can drive 60 miles an hour down the road, no problem. It just purrs like a kitten. But when this tire had this bubble, it was like, and I come up to, you know, 40 miles an hour, and guess what? I mean, you know, I don't even want to drive 55, you know. So guess what it did? I put a new tire on. Everything was great. But I'm going to say that there's a lot of us youth that are driving down the road at 35 miles an hour, and it's even at 35, it's really bumpy. And the reason is the tire isn't rotating in a way that tire was designed to operate. Okay? Now, how do you think the Bible teaches us that this whole plan is to function? Right? Are you getting it? All right? You come to a place where your relationships with your parents are functioning in a way that God designed it. And let me tell you, you know, you'll have bumps. I'm not saying you won't have any bumps. When you hit those bumps, you know, you have some, and then, you know, then everything just sort of, you know, keeps on going. You know, you follow what I'm saying. God has designed that we are like this with our parents. And I want to come back. I just want to come back and just assure you, I'm not here putting a guilt trip on you. And I realize this is a two-sided thing. What I'd like for us to do is get a vision of what God has for us. And I'd like to encourage us to endeavor to start moving forward as far as we possibly can with you and your parents. Go as far as you possibly can. And then when the day comes that God gives you your own home, take it another 10 steps farther. Right? I would desire for our children's homes to go way beyond where we have been. I'm okay with that. Isn't that right? Forget your name. Thank you. Good. Praise the Lord, brother. Okay. I'd like for us to just give us some biblical examples in history about respect toward that young people had toward their parents. And I want to give you one, maybe two. History gives us the account of a young man around age somewhere between 30 and 35 years old. This is from history. And it says, this history says that God told his father that I want you to take your son and I want you to take him onto Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice your son to God Almighty. I want you to sacrifice him. As we look at this account in the Bible, we get this picture of a young boy, maybe 5 or 10 years old, or maybe 15. But history gives this account that this son was around 30 to 35 years of age. Now consider, who do we have here that's between 30 and 35? Raise your hand in the back. Nate? Yes. Rufus? Who else? Yes. Okay. We have a couple of you that are between 30 and 35 years old. Consider with me when God went and he spoke to his father and he said, I want you to take your son and I want you to take him to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. And your father comes to you as a son and he says, God came and God showed me that you need to come with me and I'm going to take you to Mount Moriah and I'm going to sacrifice you to God. I'm not sure what I would have done if my dad would have come and told me that. But the Bible says that Isaac followed his father Abraham, and they went, and you know the account. Now consider with me the amount of respect that Isaac must have had for his father. Just consider that for a minute. The amount of respect that Isaac must have had for his father Abraham. There must have been an unbelievable amount of honor and respect that he gave to his father. Let me give you another account. Scripture gives us the account of Noah and God commanding Noah and telling him that I'm going to send a flood and I want you to build an ark. And there was a space of about 120 years from the time that God said, I'm going to send a flood. But he told him, I'm going to send a flood, and I want you to build an ark. And the Bible says that Noah had three sons, and their sons had their wives. Consider with me, right here in the little town of Millersburg, where all the people knew us, it's dry land, there's no one around, and we start building a big boat, and everyone goes by there day after day, and they're like, what in the world are you doing over there, Noah? And they said, oh, he's building an ark because, you know, his God said that there's a flood coming, and, you know, you know, there's these little things, you know, sometimes we have these chuckles about something that happens. I know up toward Maysville, there's a house that was built and no one ever moved in and it stood there for 30 some years. I've driven by and there's no one ever moved there and I scratch my head and I say, why in the world did anyone ever build that for, you know, for no one to live in? And you know, there's neighbors around there. and there's not even any people there. But in this case, Noah was building an ark. Can you just imagine Noah's sons, their friends, their neighbors, the community? But Noah's sons respected their father. They respected their father. Wow. Let's keep on going here. Here's another heading. Obedience. I wonder what it means to obey. Now, let's be clear. I'd like to just make some clarifications here. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says very clearly that children should obey their parents, and then it also says that they are to honor their parents, that it may be well with thee. Now, within the headship order, when there's children in the home and coming up through, there ought to be a very clear expectation of obedience. There comes a time and an age when those children move out on their own and another headship is established. And when another headship is established, there's a transition and a shift that happens to where it moves away from the obedience part and into the just where there's an honor and a respect. But while they're in the home within that headship, there's a very clear obedience expected. And I'm not sure if we know what it means to obey, or if we don't. I mean, do we know what that word means, to obey? I mean, girls, do any of you know? I don't think they do. I mean, do you all know? What does obey mean?
Doing as they say.
Doing as they say. Wow. Well, what if you disagree? Honor them. Yeah, you can honor them, but then you don't have to do what they say. Obey. What does obey mean? Others. What does obey mean? Just do as they say, right? But what if I don't want to? Do it anyway. Obey means to do as they say, even when I disagree. Okay? Now, let me just say it this way. You know, my dear wife, Martha, you all know her, and she's just the sweetest lady, as you well know. But the Bible says that she should submit herself to me and obey me, okay? Do you think she agrees with me all the time? No. Ooh, she doesn't. Did you know that she doesn't always agree with me? She doesn't. When she doesn't agree with me, I still like to hear. I want to try to understand. I want to try to follow why she's thinking the way that she is. I want to try to understand and follow all that. But in the end, what does the Bible tell her to do? Obey as unto God, right? Now, does she really need to obey me as unto God? That feels sort of strong. Okay, I don't tell her that. I don't tell her that she needs to obey me as unto God. Now, actually, she does. She does a good job with that. But, okay, Scripture also tells you all to obey your parents. It does. It just does. It just does. Now, I'm sure you would never do what I described when I first started preaching here of that young man that blasphemed his father. I know you would never do that. I know you would never do that. You're way beyond that. Okay? But there's a level of honor and respect that goes way beyond what we described here in the beginning. Obeying just simply means to obey. And, you know, sometimes Dad says, you know, I think that veil that you have on, I really think that's stylish. I think you should change that veil. And I think you should start wearing a different kind of veil. And you're like, or maybe there's a new dress. Maybe you were at the store and you thought this is a dress, that's dress material that's acceptable, and you bring it home. And maybe mom and dad look at it, or dad looks at it and he says, I'm just not sure. And you go, well, what do you want me to do with it? I mean, you want me to throw all this away, waste all this money? Young men, you know the things that your dad asks you to do, right? And you know that. And sometimes you want to maybe wear a shirt or wear some shoes or you know, maybe style your hair, or, you know, you name it. And your dad says, son, I just don't think that's the best thing for you. And there's something sort of starts rising up inside of you, right? Right? Just sort of, and it sort of keeps on going. All right? And what does the Bible tell you to do? Wow. Now let me ask you the question. If you were the dad, because now in 15 years you will be the dad, okay? 15 years from now, you'll be the dad. And when you have a son your age, how do you want him to respond to you? Yeah. Wow. What about you girls? How do you want, you know, 15 years from now, 15 years from now, how do you want your daughter to obey you? You want to say, sure. Mom, why do I have to? See, Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says, obey your parents in, can anyone tell me the next word? No? All, that's it. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, this verse talks to the five-year-olds. Your five-year-old brothers and sisters, it talks to the five-year-olds. Do you think it talks to you too? I think so. Now, I wonder how your home and your relationship would look like if you obeyed your parents in all things. Now, right now, maybe there's some friction around. You know what friction is? Friction. And, you know, friction needs grease. It needs oiled a bit to make it flow and make it function. And I wonder how your relationship with your parents would be if you would obey your parents in all things. Now, I'm not talking. Now, let me just get this clear. I'm not talking about you zipping your mouth, you never sharing your opinions. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you being able to even have a good discussion with your parents. Why you think the way they do, but then you making it clear, Dad, Mom, I am making a decision. Whatever you decide, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do that because the Bible tells me to. I will do that. Now, I'm here to promote an openness of expressing and sharing. I'm not talking about stuffing our feelings down, stuffing things down and just pretending like I don't have any different opinion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to communicate if there are struggles, even differences of opinion, you being able to talk about that, but in the end, making it clear, Dad, whatever you decide, I'm choosing to obey you. Whatever you tell me, I'm choosing to obey you. Wow. I wonder how your relationship with your parents would be. It'd be much better, right? Okay. Here's some of the reasons that we, you know, that we don't obey and we don't have a good relationship with Dad, because Dad did something that was very disappointing to me, and he really wasn't a good dad. So I don't respect him because he didn't respect me and he wasn't a good dad. And one of the reasons I don't obey Dad like I should is because Dad's busy and he really doesn't care much about me, and then he expects to come around and tell me what to do. One of the reasons I don't have to pay Dad is because he doesn't always speak kindly to me. He's just a little bit gruff and he's a bit rough. Or another reason that I don't have to obey Dad is because he doesn't always make the right decision. You know, he doesn't always make the right decisions. If he just listened to me and he'd do as I think, you know, we'd be at a much better place. Or maybe you don't have that relationship with Dad because Dad actually got angry. And since Dad got angry, it really doesn't matter if I obey him or if I respect him. Dad really, he doesn't deserve me to honor him. He doesn't deserve that because, you know, he doesn't respect me. And really, when it comes down to it, I don't really think Dad cares as much about me as he should. Then to top it off, he snaps at me sometimes. That makes me feel bad and distant. So, okay, do you follow? We have all this list of reasons why we shouldn't honor Dad, respect Dad, why we shouldn't give ourselves and obey and try to draw close to him. Now, I have one question with that. Once you're a mom, how many mistakes are you going to make to your daughter? A lot. Young men, how many mistakes do you think you'll make with your sons? Now, you're probably going to only make 5% as many mistakes as your dad, right? Oh, come on now. But do you see all the arguments that are in our minds, right? We have all these arguments as to why we shouldn't and why we can't have a relationship and why we shouldn't obey and why all these things just don't work out. We have all those arguments in our minds. And really, Mark, you just don't know my dad. You know my dad, I mean, then you'd be careful what you'd say. Is that what the Bible says? Okay, I want to talk a little bit about honor. Now, I was talking about obedience. There's coming a time, you coming up through to where it'll shift away from just obedience to where it's just honor, and there's going to be a different headship order, different structure that's going to be there. This honor that I'm going to talk about applies to you as a young child coming up all the way through, and it comes all the way to my father-in-law just passed away. About 6 months ago he passed away, he's gone. My parents are still both alive, and so it applies from me to them. I want to consider what honor is. Here are some of the words that describe honor. It means to respect. It means to admire. It means to esteem highly. It means to put on a pedestal. Oh, come on now. Put dead on a pedestal. It means to venerate. It means to worship. Whew. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you an example that helps you understand what this word honor really means. Now, we have a new president, and you might not know his name. You know, Biden, you might not know that name very well. So I'm going to use Trump. Trump was our president for 4 years, okay? Everyone knows Donald Trump's name very well, right? Now, there's something within us that looks at Donald Trump when he was president, and it sort of puts him up on a pedestal, right? Now, a number of years ago, I'm trying to think of one of the Bushes, I think when he was president, he drove through New Philly, and guess what people did? Oh, there's gobs of people. Literally, they sat beside the road to watch as the motorcade came through. They watched him. And they would have loved to put their hand out. And let me tell you, Donald Trump isn't president anymore. But let me tell you, if Donald Trump would come into town, and if I would bring him over here into this church building, and if I would bring him up here, let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to shake his hand? I mean, you don't, right? Right, everyone. All of a sudden, I mean, I would love to just shake his hand. I would love to, okay, now, Donald Trump is actually, I'm not sure how to describe him. He was a commander-in-chief, and so the Bible says we need to respect him very highly. But he was a liar, right? He's a very arrogant, prideful man, right? He was, he was a sinner. I mean, he had his third wife. All these things. Why should we give him any honor and respect? He's the president of the country. Now, your dad, he's done a lot of bad things that you would never do. And you feel like your dad he's not worthy of me honoring him. But the Bible says that we should honor our dad.
and honor our mom. And there's some of you that have looked at your mom and dad and you see all their mistakes. And because of all their mistakes, you've actually become bitter and you have drawn away from them. And what does the Bible tell us to do? Obey and honor and respect to where we come and we give them their rightful place as my parent. Isn't that a heart decision? And as we make that heart decision, guess, I mean, oh, I used to, I used to work with some boys and I was their manager, and they despised me. They literally despised me. Do you think I could tell if their heart would change toward me to where they would start honoring and respecting? Do you think I could feel that change? Yeah. My question is, where does this find you? You have no idea. You know, I was talking about a treasure. You have no idea the treasure that is at your fingertips. You have no clue. You have no idea the treasure that is at your fingertips. If you honor, respect, and obey your parents, you have no clue how it'll affect your walk with God. And it'll make you flourish spiritually if you give yourself and do what the Bible says. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee. Now, maybe there's some of you that don't want it to be well with you. That it may be well with thee. I think I will need to just wind this down with one point. I don't have time to keep going. But I think there's one thing that you need to use as a gauge. And there's a scripture that you all know very well, and many times you don't think to apply it in this situation. And you'll be shocked if I tell you the scripture. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, it says this. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. How do you want your parents to treat you? Do ye also so to them? You know, that's a golden rule, right? Have you ever thought of doing the golden rule to your mom and dad? Now, I'll take it a step farther. One of these days, you're going to have your own children. And so this is what you do, you think. This is how I would like my children to respond to me. This is how I'm going to respond to my parents. Do you think that's a good way to think? Think, how would, if I were my dad, how would I want me to respond? Right? Do unto others as you would have others do to you. Do you think that's a good, you know, do you think that applies? Right? Now, here's the sad thing. When we come to church, we're all friendly. Oh, how are you doing today? Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, sure, yeah. Oh, have a nice day. You know, And we talk to them with a nice tone. And then we come home to the ones that are the closest to us. And we go, what are you, you know, who do you think you are? You know, why do you do that? Okay. And sometimes we say, well, you know, I can't help myself. But one day, Mark knocks on the door. Yo, yeah, hi there. Yeah, sure. And 2 minutes before, you go, wow. All right, I have to stop. Why honor my parents? Why honor my parents? Let me tell you, you have no idea where you could be spiritually. You have no idea how God wants to take you further if you would simply pursue a relationship with your parents the way the Bible instructs us to. This word, it has the answers. You come out of God's order, and it's like that old tire running down the road, 35 miles an hour, bumping all over the place, the whole floorboard doing this, you know. You have no idea what you could have. That treasure you could have, you have no idea. That $100,000, you have no idea it's in there. And so you're just running down the road in an old VW Jetta with holes above the tires and go boom, 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 boom. The Lord bless you all.